This is a Montbold Christian Fellowship sermon podcast. We hope you find this message enjoyable and inspiring.
Good morning, everyone. If you were here last week, even though we talked about growing into the maturity that God has for us, we're going to continue that today. Last week I started with looking at 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 3 and 4, and this is what Paul says to the church in Thessalonica. We are bound to thank God always for you, brethren, as it is fitting, because of your faith, because your faith grows exceedingly, and the love of every one of you all abounds towards each other, so that we ourselves boast of you among the churches of God for your patience and faith in all your persecutions and tribulations that you endure. So Paul thanked them and saw the church in Thessalonica as a church that was maturing, as a church that was moving ahead because of three things. One is that their faith was increasing. And the second was that their love towards each other was abounding. And thirdly, that they were being patient in the trials and tribulations. So last week we had a look at when someone is born in the natural, they're a young baby, and the whole goal that God's put into their DNA is that they don't stay that way. He's designed growth to happen. That's how we're made. And we talked about how that growth and maturing that God wants to bring us to is for a purpose, is because he has things for us to do. To expect a young, you know, baby or a toddler, they can do lots of things. They can do a whole lot of stuff, but there's so much more they can do, so much more they can do of purpose and of great worth when they're older. And that's what God wants of us. We spoke of people like Moses and David, and Joseph, and how God brought them through and helped them grow so they could be used for him. And that's the whole point of coming to maturity in him. We spoke about how a maturing process isn't just an overnight snap your fingers and it's done, and that we need to be patient in the work God's doing in us. I don't know about you, but I can be sometimes a bit impatient that I'm not where I should be. And we also need to be patient with each other. We need to remember that God's taken us from somewhere already to where we are now. And sometimes when we hear a message on maturing, like last week, I sort of left thinking, oh, I hope we didn't come away thinking that, oh, we're just little babies and there's, you know, we just need to grow up. Because God's taken us from somewhere, from our new birth in him, to where we are now. And there's been great growth as we've gone along our journey. Sometimes we need to reflect upon that. Life can be hard if we don't sort of reflect and look back at where we've come. The moment I'm driving without a left-hand mirror, hopefully it gets fixed soon, but you'd realise how much you rely on it and how hard it is to drive without that reflection. So it's good to know. Let's reflect back and think, where's God taken us from? Think about some dark places you've been. Think about some points where you were at your wit's end and the end of your strength in yourself, and how God has moved you on from there. We talked about how to grow in him and to mature in him, that really it's not our own works and our own effort, but it's as we abide in him. As we read in John 15, that we abide in the vine, we'll be fruitful simply by just being grafted into that branch. So we talked about that, about increasing in our faith and learning from those that have gone before. We looked at Hebrews 11 and all those great heroes of faith, how they can inspire us to grow in our own faith. And so next we're going to look at today, we're going to look at that second thing that Paul gave thanks for in the Thessalonians, and that was that their love abounded for one another. He could see it growing and flourishing. It was that love. And there was some stuff that was coming against the Thessalonians, and you can read about it in Acts 17, some stuff from their own, you know, fellow Jews that were living in that town were giving him grief, and there was tribulations, and there were hard things they were going through. And I reckon that Paul saw that they could endure through those times because of their faith was increasing and their love for each other was abounding. When those two things were in place, they were able to endure and withstand stuff that would come against them. There was a connection with God. There was a connection with each other, with brothers and sisters. And I think that math sort of adds up, doesn't it? That we can go through hardship when we have, you know, that love for God and love for each other. When we have those two commandments that Jesus gave us. And so we know that there are hard things that come in your life. And there are some of you now that are going through some dark times. And my prayer for you is that your faith is increasing, that you're connecting in and that your love's abounding with each other to help you get through that time. We know as well that the church is, you know, in the world, other countries for sure experiencing great persecution. And things seem to be tightening up here in the West. And there may be times of tribulation for us and persecution against us in a greater and greater measure. And I believe, just like the Thessalonians, we need to be focusing on the Lord and know that we're growing in Him and allowing Him to grow in us. But not just that, but also for our love for each other, for those in your sphere, to be abounding, to be flourishing. So let's talk about love today. Does that sound okay? It's good. We were talking on the way. On the way in the car, just how sometimes it's hard when you're standing in front of someone and you sort of, like, you're all looking at me, but like, are you going all right? Like, sometimes you just want to check in. I'm not one of those preachers that, do I hear an amen? See, it doesn't work. That's why I don't do it. Oh, but as long as you're all with me, what are we going to look at today? Love. Great. And this just builds on last year's Karen's messages on love and just how that was just such a great season to be able to focus on that. Sometimes when we think about love, we think about where in the Bible could we find out about it. What's one of the first places we go to? 1 Corinthians 13. So I'm just going to go through what Paul says to the Corinthian church about what love is. As I say each one of these 15 items, I'm just going to pause. And it's going to be a time for you to, first of all, think, wow, is this something because love's a fruit of the Spirit, and that fruit needs to grow in us, but there's things we can do to hinder and to block that from happening. So I want you to reflect upon it. Is this something, quality that's in me? I also want you to think about what the opposite of it would be, okay? So when I say something, I want you to think, is this in me? Am I allowing God to work this in me? And what's the opposite of this? And we see when we read it out, there's, you know, it's such a, the bar is set so high in this chapter, isn't it? Oh, and we see how far we come from it. All right, you ready? Love is patient. Love's kind. Let's think about the opposite of that. Just think about when someone shows kindness to you, what that's like. It's powerful, isn't it? Sometimes we see kindness as this mamby-pamby sort of quality. Kindness is powerful. Love's not jealous. Love is not boastful. Love's not proud. It's not rude. Love doesn't demand its own way. Love is not irritable. A few giggles there. Love keeps no record of being wronged. Love does not rejoice in injustice. but it rejoices when the truth wins out. Love never gives up. Love never loses faith. Love is always hopeful. And it endures in every circumstance. I just need to pray right now. God, we just hear what love is. Lord, we know that you are love. And those things, Lord God, that we know that you pour upon us and you the love of God is poured out upon us by your Holy Spirit. Thank you, Lord, that you are so patient with us. God, thank you for your kindness that you pour out to us. Thank you, Lord. That's not a selfish love, Lord. You're so giving to us. Lord, may we be people of love. Lord, may we be people that demonstrate that, Lord God, and have your love, you in us, living out to others. God, forgive us when we're selfish. Forgive us, Lord, when it's all about us. Thank you, God. Can we turn to 1 John 4? 1 John. 1 John chapter 3 and 4, if you want to, in your own time, check out 1 John 3 and 4. Plenty that John says about love. 1 John 4 and verses 14 to 16. Is there someone who's happy to read that out for me? Thanks, Denise.
And we have seen and testify that the Father has sent the Son as Saviour of the world. Whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in him and he in God. And we have known and believed the love that God has for us. God is love, and he who abides in love abides in God and God in him.
And said, we have known and believed the love that God has for us. God is love. He who abides in love abides in God. Does anyone have a different translation that says something different to that?
We know how much God loves us, and we have put our trust in his love. God is love, and all who live in love live in God, and God lives in them.
Wow, those that live in God, he lives in us. Let's now turn across to Ephesians chapter 4. Do you know what? I reckon I got those ones wrong. I reckon we read the wrong section. Hey, Denise, can you go back to where you were? And let's try, instead of 12 to 14, I reckon it's 7 to 12. Can I just have a look? I sit next to you.
Yep.
There it is, 7 to 12.
Take two.
Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. He who does not love does not know God, for God is love. In this the love of God was manifested towards us, that God has sent his only begotten Son into the world, that we might live through him. In this is love. Not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. Okay. No one has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God abides in us, and his love has been perfected in us.
That's the one we wanted. Not that the other verse was bad or anything, but that's what we wanted. Where it says there in the end, there it says, if we love one another, God abides in us, and his love has been perfected in us. Can you grasp that? If we love one another, then God abides in us. Wow. Last week we talked about us abiding in God and being fruitful in that. But when we love one another, God abides in us. I'm trying to get my head around that. Amazing. How powerful it is when you're in a community of love, when you're in a relationship with someone. Can you turn across to Ephesians? Let's go to Ephesians 4. And I read part of this out last week when it talked about Jesus putting different people in different positions for the equipping of saints for the work of the ministry, and that we should grow up as a church into a mature person, the fullness of Christ. But can we just read here verse 14 to 16? Can I, Cara Jane, can I ask you to read that out? Yeah? So Ephesians 4, 14 to 16.
Then we will no longer be immature like children. We will not be tossed and blown about by every wind of new teaching. We will not be influenced by people try to trick us with lies so clever they sound like the truth. Instead, we'll speak the truth of in love, growing in every way more and more in Christ, who makes the head of the body in his church. Is it all? He makes the whole body fit together perfectly. As each part does its own special work, it helps the other parts grow. As the whole body is healthy and growing full of love.
What a great picture of when we love each other, we're part of the one body. And I love what it says there at the end, you know, the whole body joint and knit together by what every joint supplies. There's no part of the body that doesn't have a part, that isn't joint somewhere. Imagine if that was the case, if there was a part on its own and it wasn't joint and knit together with the whole body. According to the effective working by which every part does its share, and what does it do? It causes growth of the body. And that's what we're wanting. We're wanting, and God's wanting in us, for us as a church in Mombolk, for us as a church universally, to grow for the edifying of itself in love. Let's flick across to 1 Corinthians 13, and we're going to read the section just after the bit we looked at before. So the first part of 1 Corinthians 13 is talking about, you know, we can do all these great things, but if we don't have love, what's the point? Then we hear Paul's description of what love is that we said before. Then from verse 8 right to the end, this is what we hear. Love never fails, but whether there are prophecies, they will fail. Whether there are tongues, they will cease. Whether there's knowledge, it will vanish away. For we know in part and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect has come, then that which is in part will be done away. When I was a child, I spoke as a child, understood as a child, I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. For now we see in a mirror dimly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then I shall know just as I also am known. And now abide faith, hope, and love, these three, but the greatest of these is love. So here we talked last week, we finished off by, remember when we talked about how a child speaks and what they think and how they reason? It's really good to apply that to who we are and as we mature and what our, you know, thinking and words are. And it's interesting here, looking at this picture of eternity. This is a picture Paul paints of eternity, that there won't be prophecy, the spiritual gifts won't need to be in operation. They're for the church for this time here before Christ return. All things will be fulfilled. Think about, you know, the things that you know and the knowledge in this world. So much of it is not going to be of use in eternity. We don't get too much from Scripture about what heaven and eternity is going to be like. We get snippets. We get these little windows into what it could be, but we don't know much. We don't really know what it's like. We see a few pictures, and Paul, you know, says he was taken there, and we have some testimonies of that. But to grasp what it's like and what's there and what it will be like is really hard to know. We don't know so much. But we know one thing. We know that there will be love. Love never fails. Love will be there. And why? Because God is love. So it's good to know that even though it's like, oh, so many unknowns, what happens when you die? What's it going to be like passing your time when there is no time, an eternity future? Who knows? But we know one thing for certain. There will be love there. There'll be love from God that we will know. There'll be love that we'll share with each other, and love will pour out to him. And that section there, it talks about when we're children, we grow up and we put away childish things. Lots of commentators of the scriptures say that that's sort of what it will be like in terms of when we get to heaven. You know, when you're older, you sort of think, oh, I can't believe I used to think that. I can't believe I used to think, I don't know. Is there any examples of what you used to think when you were a kid that is totally not true? Catherine. Catherine thought that a troop was another word for a purple fruit. And the reason is, can I explain why? You know that song, that old song? I will run through a troop and leap over a wall. You know that one? For some reason, when she heard, I will run through a troop, she pictured this big purple fruit that people were running through. And so she just thought that the troop was a purple fruit. Is there anything? That's a great example. What else? What else did you think when you were a kid? And then at one point in your life, you had this aha moment of just, I got that totally wrong. Oh, that you can trust everyone. But that's not the case. Wow, so you like in the... That's a great... So back in the olden days, it was actually black and white. So they had colour film back then, but they took photos of reality, which is... That's so good. And people saw in black and white as well? Yeah. Wow. That is so good. Isn't that awesome? So it was like the black and white TV, but it was what everyone really saw. That's great, because that's really the... No, that's so good, Michelle, because that's really the our only picture into the olden days. It's black and white. It's so good. Imagine being... Like, isn't it interesting if that was true? No one talks about that moment when the world became colour. But it's great that you can look back and think, I can't believe I thought that. Wow. Amazing. And even you look at... Yeah, so I think Paul here is saying about thinking as a child, notions that we have of who God is, what love is, what his love is. I reckon that's what Paul's saying. He's like, what we know now of what the love of God is, it's like we're trying to look through this glass, this sort of, and they say back then in that particular time, there would have been glass, but wouldn't have been this clear see-through, like it would have been a bit hard to look through, a bit blurry, a bit. It's like we're sort of looking through that, and oh yeah, we think we know exactly what God's love is. But when we get to all eternity and we see him as he is, we see him face to face, it'll be like, I can't believe that's what I used to think God's love was. What a childish notion. Wow, imagine being able to just have the scales come off our eyes and experience the love of God in all eternity with him. Isn't that amazing? Isn't that great to think that it, I believe we know a measure of his love. I don't think we're missing the picture. The Bible says a whole lot of what that is. But you know, I just think about someone that's, you know, someone that's blind and they can't, you try and explain something to them about what a colour is like or what something looks like or what a sunset's like, or they couldn't really grasp it. And then if they were to get healed and have their vision, whoa, they'd just be like, Oh, is that what you would... Oh, wow, that's even better than I thought. Because I had no frame of reference. There was nothing I could refer to. We can look forward to all eternity. We can look forward to Christ coming back. And having, like Paul, those scales off his eyes, I can say, wow, that's God, this is what you're like. Let's get excited about this. Sometimes when we think about big picture, think about what's coming and where we're heading, wow, that can spur us on. It's exciting. All right. So, just to finish with, just a few questions for you. So, question one. Do you have people in your life that you're connected, knit together? Are you part of a body where you feel that you are a joint and that you are able to supply what you can give? Is there someone that you can see that's on the outer and that's lonely and that needs to be encouraged and needs to be brought in? Are you someone that is aware of God's love for you? Because some of us have a mindset that we're just not worthy of it. We're not worth much. Have you allowed God to speak into your life? I was talking to a good friend the other day, and we were talking about how sometimes in the depth of your sin and the depth of who you are, and that you know you're not measuring up, if you were just to silence all that and think, well, what's God saying to me right now? Oh, he says he loves me. Do you know that? Do you steel yourself enough to actually hear the love that he has for you? Because we need to know that. We need to know his love. We need God in us so we can love each other. And sometimes that's speaking the truth in love. Sometimes we think, oh, we've got to be super nice. That's one of my biggest problems is love. Showing love to me means being the nicest guy in the world. Just be the gentle, nice guy. And it's a trap for me. It's a trap because people can walk all over me, or people don't really know what I'm feeling, or I suppress things that maybe, oh, I probably should say that, but oh, no, I need a love. It can get me unstuck heaps of times. So let's just reflect on those things. Let's encourage each other. Let's be a church that's growing in our faith. Let's be a church that's abounding in love for each other. Whatever that's going to look like in how you connect with each other. So let's pray. Dear God, we just thank you for your love. Thank you that you've poured it out upon us, Lord. Thank you that you are love. Lord, and in sending your son Jesus, we see the greatest act of love, that you sent your son to die for each one of us in our place, that we then could be in an eternal relationship of love with you. Lord, we don't take that for granted, and we thank you so much, Lord, for the love you've shown us. God, and help us, Lord, to love others. Help us, God, not to be so focused on ourselves and what we need, what we want, what we should be doing, that we don't have you use us to change lives. We thank you, Lord. Thank you for this church, Lord. Thank you for these, my brothers and sisters, God. May we know your love. May we give your love. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thanks for listening. And please check out our website or come and visit us at Mombol Christian Fellowship.